Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, we're glad you are joining us for another week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Wherever you're tuned in this afternoon or online, welcome. Always glad to have you on board. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel today. Actually, we will be at Southern Bancorp in Midtown tomorrow afternoon for the Eagle Hour. So we're on the road tomorrow with our good friends at Southern Bancorp and now broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios. Dickey's Barbecue Pit sponsors the opening segment of the show. It is a great place to take your family, and it is a great place to cater your next event, so make sure that Dickey's is on your list. All right, we start out every week, of course, with our good friend, head baseball coach Scott Berry. Golden Eagles go 2-2 on the week, but more importantly, I think, win the first conference weekend series as new members of the Sun Belt over a good Georgia Southern team. Coach, always good to have you on the show. We were kind of chuckling off air. The weatherman kind of scared us all off for Sunday. As it turns out, not a drop of rain in the Pine Belt on Sunday.
No, it turned out to be pretty nice, except, you know, right around Hattiesburg it did. I know Laurel north of here had some tough weather and up in Jackson, but we were spared for any kind of bad weather. But, you know, the rain didn't come, and certainly we could have played on Sunday.
No question. I do want to get to the series. Important second weekend in the Sun Belt. Very briefly, Tuesday night, I've been following your program now and having you on the show for 10 years, so I know you weren't very happy overall with the performance of your team Tuesday night. As a couple of home runs, do them in, and they lose 6-3 down in New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, just didn't do enough to win that baseball game. You know, and when you're on the road like that, certainly you gotta make better opportunities and cash in on them for sure. And we just didn't play well enough, Bob, all the way around in any area really to win that game.
No question. All right, but the weekend rolls around, and it was really exciting this weekend with Georgia Southern, I guess, for the first time. Certainly, as obviously as a member of this conference, to be in Pete Taylor Park, and you open it with a 4-3 Friday afternoon win. Again, moved up to 4 o'clock because of weather. And Tanner Hall was dealing. He had thrown 5 1/3 innings, given up a couple of walks, but also 10 strikeouts, and was really shutting down Georgia Southern. And then the rain comes, and you have to stop the game for, I guess, maybe an hour. Come back. You did get a really solid relief performance to get you through the rest of the game, but frustrating when your ace is wheeling and dealing and then it starts raining, right?
Yeah, it really was. And you know, it wasn't really the rain. It was that lightning, and lightning is our worst enemy. The rain usually doesn't bother us with a synthetic grass field, but, you know, that delay was 53 minutes, and Tanner, he had covered 5 1/3 innings up to that point on only 85 pitches, but he did leave the delay with the bases loaded, and you know the play of the game was Cross Sibley coming in with a loaded with the bases loaded with only one out and being able to get the 6-4-3 ground ball on just three pitches, and then taking us to the end, and obviously got his third save of the year. So really great pitching performance by those two guys, kept our bullpen fresh. Especially with the fact that we had to play two games the next day.
Fair to say that Sibley right now may be the number one guy out of the bullpen as far as performance has been concerned?
Oh, absolutely. He's been just really outstanding there, really wants the ball, has a great presence. You know, I think everybody on this staff can see that this is the guy that needs to get it in these situations. And, you know, we're thankful that Cross has taken his game to another level and gives us that opportunity.
Well, then comes the game on Saturday, and boy, the first game was really. I don't think there's anything more exciting in sports than big home runs at big times of the ball game. And boy, you got a big home run in the bottom of the eighth inning to win a really exciting ball game Saturday, Coach.
Well, we really did, and but you know what? Before we get to that, we did a lot of really good things offensively prior to that three-run homer, which at that time, you know, we were down, you know, going into the bottom of the eighth mm-hmm. there, but up to that point, you know, we'd hit a four spot there in the third inning against Georgia Southern, and you know that was a big home run by Dickerson after Edsel had led off with a base hit that inning, and then Pato had a great two out RBI hit,
right.
And Lynch had a big two out RBI hit. So there were a lot of really good things that we did earlier in the game to get us to that point. But you know they matched up, they went to the pen there in the bottom of the eighth and brought their lefty in that they have a lot of confidence with, and he was in a 2-0 count and against Slade, and that's an advantage count for Slade, and kind of locked him into a fastball even though it was left on left, and he put a really good swing on it and put us up there two runs over Georgia Southern with one inning to go.
Right, but nobody hits it harder, I don't think, when he really connects and gets the fat of the bat on the ball than Slade Wilkes, and that was a big home run. Of course, got to point out Dustin Dickerson not only hit it out of the park, he hit it over the billboard in left field. I don't think I've ever seen him hit a longer home run than that. But the home run by Wilkes, which proved to be the game winner, kind of created a little bit of a dust-up. Quickly, Coach, what happened there?
Well, you know, there is, at this past week, there has been a bat flip warning put in place by the NCAA, and, you know, where Slade hit a, you know, he hit the ball a long ways, as you said, and in a big moment, kind of took two or three steps out of the box and kind of threw the bat up in the air. It certainly wasn't anything like a Danny Lynch of two or three years ago, whenever that was. But you know, according to the rules, and he did. But whatever happened at home plate, I really don't know at that point, Bob, after he touched home plate. There were some words and some shoving that went on, and then both benches they emptied, and everything was diffused. I mean, we got everything under
right,
control.
Right.
There were a couple of players that were suspended. There was some confusion at that time. You know, they suspended their catcher and then they suspended Slade. But in between games, I was notified that the umpires took a look at the video and deemed that Slade was not a part of anything that was unsportsmanlike, and that Bryce Fowler and their catcher were the two that exchanged with that.
Right, and we should point out, nothing really happened, just kind of squaring off, and got the fans excited. But
it did.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the media asked me after the game, Bob, you know, my take on the whole thing, and I said, hey, we're 18 to 21-year-old kids out there that love to play the game. We're, both teams are highly competitive. Neither team wants to win. There's a lot of emotion that goes into baseball games, and you know where I'm not sitting here saying leave the dugout, leave your position, and all that. You know, there is a part of me that says that if you're not backing your teammate, then you do kind of have questions about, you know,
right.
your emotions and how they're tied up. But you know, with that being said, too, you know, there is a rule in place by the NCAA that if you leave your position or your dugout, then you will be suspended. So we are awaiting the conference to review the video for additional suspensions that we feel like that will certainly be coming up out of that conference office for both us and Georgia Southern.
Is that right? Well, that is news. And when do you think you'll know about that, Coach?
Probably by the end of the day, I would think. They'll need to let me know, because I've got a game against Ole Miss, and I know Coach Hennon at Georgia Southern, who we spoke twice. They play Georgia on Wednesday, so those will have to be announced sometime today.
All right, Coach, just a few seconds left. I did want to touch on the third game. The Golden Eagles lose late on a home run late, but that was another one of those really good and competitive games. And what's a little frustrating from a fan standpoint is you were just a game or two away really from winning, a hit or two away or from winning the Texas State game. You're just like a couple hits away from sweeping this series. So overall, though, a good weekend, right?
It really was, yeah. I mean, in all honesty, shoot, that third game, we were one out from
correct,
you know, being
right,
able to sweep that series. But hats off to a good Georgia Southern team and their hitters. They didn't go down, and certainly they had that sense of urgency to salvage a game. And those are things that we talk about in our program, that there's going to be weekends where that's the best you can do is to salvage one game, and you've got to be able to do it and avoid sweeping. So, but our guys, I couldn't be more proud of the way that we responded offensively. You know, I thought that we had a very good weekend and gave ourselves those opportunities to win. But we were right there to sweep, but weren't able to do it, but we did take that series.
Completely agree. When we come back, get the guys in here with head baseball coach Scott Berry. Super Talk Eagle Hour off and running on Super Talk Mississippi.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net on Hardy Street. That's where you'll find Miss Kathleen 7 days a week. You can also shop online at campusbookmart.net. Also want to thank Jana King, the King of Clean, for their sponsorship of our program. They've been working for 35 years here in the Pine Belt, cleaning places of education, work, medicine, eateries, stadiums, and worship. They can clean your business, too. Just go to JanaKingCleans.com. All right, head baseball coach Scott Berry with us. Get in here, guys. Go ahead, Kelly.
Coach, I want to, first of all, you mentioned Cross Sively in the first segment, that he's been consistent out of the bullpen. When you mentioned Cross Sively, I also think of guys like Reed Trimble, J.C. Keys, who are Eagles of the past. All three of those guys were headed to junior college, you know, out of high school, and some serendipitous things happened that they wound up at Southern Miss. But when you talked about Cross stepping his game up to another level, can you fill in some blanks there? How has he improved from where he started to where he is now?
Well, I think the number one thing is just his ability to throw strikes. You know, what we had seen last year and what kept him off the field as a true freshman was he just wasn't ready to get in this type of atmosphere when he wasn't able to show that he could throw strikes and inner squads and bullpens and whatever we evaluate to try to determine where those guys are going to be needed in games. But, you know, through the course of his development, his continued work with Coach Oz, you know, that has become a big part of what he does. I mean, he throws a lot of strikes now. And with those strikes, Kelly, he has pitchability. He's got really good three pitches. His fastball, breaking ball, and changeup are all quality pitches. But he's got something that's unique. He's got some real deception in his delivery, kind of funky, as we say, a funky delivery that's just hard for hitters to be comfortable trying to hit against.
And everybody talks to each other, and apparently the word against your team was start lefties. The way you beat Southern Miss is to start lefties. But that conversation, if it's been had by coaches, is going to have to change, because I thought this weekend – You guys were going with pitches that you should have gone with, pulled pitches that you should have pulled. I thought the hitters were certainly up to the task, left-handed or right-handed this weekend.
Well, certainly we did do better against them, and our average against lefties is slowly starting to climb with that. But yeah, there's a different plan against a lefty you should have, especially if you're a left-hander, than a righty. But you know, it's, I tell these guys all the time, you want to play against lefties and show me you can hit lefties. And when you do that, then you'll be in that lineup. So. You know, I thought we had just a really good weekend overall at the plate with our approach.
Okay, Luke?
Coach, talk about Christopher Sargent. 5 hits in 3 games. Great to see him swinging.
Yeah, I am too, because I know he's been taking it hard. You know, of course, people have been on him hard. I've heard it. I've read it. And nobody works, you know, as hard as Christopher does at his game, and anybody that's ever played the game of baseball is going to go through a slump. And if they say they never did, then they probably never played baseball. And you know, so but you know, hopefully he's coming out of that now. I really liked his approach at the plate. He was laying off pitches that had been getting him in trouble. His pitch selection in the past or prior really got him into those negative counts, those pitchers' counts, and kept him out of his counts, where he's at the advantage. And I felt like that was the big key this weekend, that he laid off those pitches out of the zone, and he didn't miss pitches as much when he got them to hit.
Yeah. Talk about two pitchers, you know, been seeing Sarge struggle a little bit, get him out of his funk. But, you know, what do you say to two guys like Nico Mazza and J.B. Middleton yesterday? Nico, really, for the second week in a row, got in early trouble and had an early exit. And then Middleton, everybody knows the stuff is there. I mean, just a freshman just, you know, putting a pitch in a wrong place. Both of those guys, immense talent. What do you say to them after a game like Game 3 on Saturday?
Well, Nico's got a year on JB. Just that Nico's in his second year and JB's in his first year. Nico's just got to be able to it's been that wall the last two outings at Texas State and again here this past the first game or third game on Saturday. You know, he just hits that wall in that third inning and the walks start to get him in trouble. And whatever focus that he's losing there, I don't think it's a mechanical thing at all. I think it's more of a mental thing. You know, he's got to be able to push that wall down and trust his stuff. And, you know, at some point you got to just go back to attacking the zone and not be afraid to run away from the bat, but try to attack the bat and make them put it in play. So that's what he's going to have to do, because the walks is what is getting him in trouble. JB, I'll be honest with you. I told him after the game, nobody took that any harder than he did. And I told him, I said, I saw your emotion when you came off the field. You know, after giving up those runs, you threw your glove. There was nobody harder on you than yourself. And that's why you're going to be a very good player here one day. And you're going to play this game for a long time. And you know, with JB, he's a freshman. We're having to throw him. We're having to throw Monastir. I mean, they're going to keep getting better. Trust me. They've got tremendous stuff, but just because you have stuff doesn't mean that you just walk out there and you're successful right off the bat as a freshman. There's a learning curve that has to take place and has to get that stuff to be efficient and be able to win with it. And he will. You know, I think the key with JB is going to be the development of that third pitch, that changeup that's going to get him off that fastball.
One more question for me, turning the page to tomorrow night. Team you've already faced, team that you want to, you know, want to play well against, even though they're behind you in RPI, it's still an RPI game, and it's in Trustmark. What do you need to do against Ole Miss tomorrow night?
I just need to come out and play good baseball. You know, we need to, we're probably going to have to throw several pitchers, and honestly, we're going to start Billy. But, you know, we're going to have Billy available on the weekend. I mean, we're kind of seeing that now, so. We won't go deep in the game with Billy, and we'll have to throw several guys with that. But we're going to have to take care of the ball and play good defense. And certainly we're going to have to continue the momentum that we left off offensively and carry those good at-bats over to tomorrow night game. I know that they just got through coming off being swept by a good Florida team. but that doesn't take away the fact that Ole Miss is a very dangerous and very good team, one that beat us earlier in the year up there, and which I thought was a very good lineup that they put out there offensively. So, you know, certainly we'll have our hands full as we do with them and any other team that you play at this level. So we're going to have to play good baseball to come out a winner.
No question. Coach, I know you're only two series into it, but early season evaluation of what you're seeing out of the Sun Belt and how it may compare to what you would see out of Conference USA baseball, which, as you and I have talked many times, was a vastly underrated baseball conference, I think.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't see a whole lot of difference. I think, you know, what I've seen out of the first two series, Texas State and Georgia Southern, they're two quality clubs that have really good athletes on the field that do things well. You know, just like you would see out of the majority of the clubs with Conference USA. So, you know, I don't think there's anything different in philosophy from one league to the other. You know, there's not one, you know, like there's not one league that's a small ball league and another league that's a power league. I think everybody utilizes their personnel the best way they can from year to year to try to manage them and trying to win. So I think it's going to be a good league. Obviously, we go to Troy this weekend, and they've played good baseball up to date right now. So it'll be a big challenge for us in our third weekend on the road.
I don't think any weekend's going to be anything but a challenge. Is that not fair to say? I mean, I just don't see any week outs when I look at the schedule.
Well, Bob, you know, of course I do this for a living, and I see it day in, day out, and I know that if you're not ready to play and not willing to go out there and give the effort to win a baseball game at this level, in the Division I level, it doesn't matter who's on the other side, you're going to stand a chance of getting beat if you don't show up ready to compete. So I don't think it really matters with anybody. Everybody has good players. Everybody gives scholarships to players. So everybody's got good coaches. And so you've got to do your part as a team to show up, give the effort to go out and win. And that's no guarantee you will, but there is a guarantee if you don't, you won't win.
That's exactly right. Always a pleasure, Coach Berry. You know, we really do appreciate all that you do with us. And good luck to you and the guys this week.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
All right, Coach Scott Berry, everybody. When we come back, conversation I had with Jeremy McClain Saturday afternoon. I want to relay what he asked me to say about that conversation on the Eagle Hour, Mr. Standard.
You mean there's been some talk about Jeremy McClain?
There's been some talk, and I have it straight from the horse's mouth. What's about to happen?
Stay tuned.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, as always, we want to thank head baseball coach Scott Berry. Gives us a half an hour every Monday to kick off the week, and for that, we're very, very grateful. 4th Street Bar and Grill, we're grateful to those guys, too. They sponsor this segment of the Eagle Hour. It is a great place to go watch the next Golden Eagle sporting event. Get yourself a big cold Pabst Blue Ribbon beer and a big old oyster poor boy or shrimp poor boy, Kelly, and kick back and watch baseball. Does it get any better than that?
It doesn't matter what you order on the menu. You know, it's all good at 4th Street.
No question. We appreciate each and everything that the 4th Street Bar Grill does for this program and the athletic department. Okay, a lot of rumors last week. Let's just address this and move on. A lot of rumors about Jeremy McClain. Jeremy McClain was going to leave Southern Miss and become the next president of Delta State.
That was the rumor.
That was the rumor. And as you and I were talking, well, we heard it. You know, we heard it from people kind of saying that we should be reporting that. Well, we didn't. I had an opportunity to visit with him between the baseball games Saturday afternoon, and he asked me to relay this message. This came straight from the mouth of Jeremy McClain. Yes, Delta State talked to me about the president's job, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm the athletics director here. And then he went on to say, and, you know, why don't you say that, if you will, Monday on your show? So straight from Jeremy McClain, Sunday afternoon, you can put all the rumors to rest. He's not going anywhere. He will remain as the Southern Miss athletics director. And, guys, I'll throw it out to both of you. I think that's big, big news, because I think losing Jeremy McClain would be a real tremendous setback for the athletics department.
Well, first of all, in the reporting of it, Bob, you and I are old school, right? We are trained in a journalism background, and it's really hard sometimes to not report something that everybody says is a done deal.
Right.
This is done. They're going to announce it really soon. Well, we go back to, I don't know, a year or two ago when Joy Lee McNellis, that was the other thing. Joy Lee McNellis was getting ready to call a press conference. She was going to retire from coaching. Well, you hear all these sorts of things, but you have to have credible references so that you can attribute, you know, who is giving you this information. And although we heard it from every different direction, we heard it from nobody in an official capacity. And no. Usually, if your sources trust you, they will say, look, I am telling you this off the record. So had we heard off the record that Jeremy was going, we probably would have been able to report it in a roundabout manner. But we were getting no word, you know, officially at all this was about to happen. So on this program, and I think I feel safe in speaking for Luke and Bob, we're not going to deal in innuendo and rumor.
No.
Too many people can get hurt. Too many people's livings are on the line financially, and we're just not going to do that. We would rather be right than be first.
All right, and that came straight from the athletic director himself, Luke. Put the rumors to rest. What he basically
said. So Kelly, I agree. I'm jesting here. What did you just say? You would rather be what?
Right than first.
Bob, that's not true for him at restaurants.
No, absolutely not. In fact, if you value your fingers, you do not get in front of Kelly.
Well, you need to be. You need to clarify. At buffets, it's right. Better to be first.
At buffets, no. Just get out of the way.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, yeah, the reason...
Women and children be damned. You know, get out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, the reason we did not bring it up is because there was smoke.
Right.
But you have to find out whether smoke is because something is on fire or it's because people are kicking up dust. And like you said, Bob, there was a conversation there. But right. Until you can, you know, definitively say that. I mean, you remember how hesitant we were, although we knew that Will Hall was going to be the next coach at Southern Miss football. Mm-hmm. And then that day, me and you just kind of looked at each other right. And be like, let's go. Right. I mean, so it's easier to wait than to have to retract.
That's right. And we're not ever going to put out any news on this show that we aren't really confident that we're accurate about.
And
if other people have podcasts, whatever they have, we don't care. They can do what they choose.
Yeah, I mean, everybody can approach it as they see fit. I mean, that's the thing about platforms. Everybody, you know, has a voice and can use it as it would. Anyway, to answer your question, excellent. I mean, that's when you start hearing rumors, the next thought that comes to your mind is, but like what's going to happen? Like who would we go after? You know, and Jeff Mitchell just went to Ball State.
Left. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was the thing for me. I was, you know, going down that road if that were to happen. This is, he will go down, already at legendary status, getting Southern Miss into the Sun Belt, but just the fact that he's committed to this university, it's a great day for Southern Miss.
And he's also talked about, you know, his long-term plans of bringing the softball program, you know, the facilities of softball, perhaps back onto the main campus where people don't have to, you know, go off of campus to see the softball team play. Same thing with track and field. The overseeing the renovations of Reed Green Coliseum. There are a lot of projects that Jeremy still has on plate that I just felt too. It just wasn't adding up to me. I mean, the possibility you get, but the bottom line is the math to me just wasn't there.
The fact that he's staying is very good news, and everyone should be happy. I want to get to this, guys, before we run out of time. I'm so amused to see San Diego State and Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. No SEC team in the Final Four, despite the fact I'm sure almost all of them had an opportunity in the tournament. But I kind of chuckled at myself last night, Luke, thinking, now, you know, all this transfer stuff and the portal and all is really beefing up some of these smaller schools. And if this keeps up, the Power Five is going to want to revisit the transfer portal, I think.
First time since 1970 that you've had, you know, this many. What was
it? So refreshing. It's so refreshing.
I was watching Miami last night when they put Texas out, and it applies to Miami just because, you know, they haven't been this far either. But somebody, the commentator said teams have been getting older quicker now, and that was true for Southern Miss this year. I mean,
right.
You think about the roster. You know, turnover. But guys, Friday night, Lauren and I were in Fairhope, Alabama, little getaway. We're eating at Gambino's restaurant. Mobile Bay is out to the left. I'm looking at Mobile Bay. Beautiful sight. I'm eating a ribeye steak, and I'm watching San Diego State eliminate Alabama from the NCAA tournament. It was a great moment. And I can get behind watching those teams run like that. FAU's been crazy fun to watch.
Yeah, they have been.
And I mean, there's the two Mississippi connections, two junior college kids from Mississippi, you know, including the Weatherspoon kid from Mississippi watching. So to answer that, to reflect what that commentator said, the parity in college basketball, unlike other sports, is we're seeing it before our eyes change. And that's encouraging for schools like Southern Miss.
I think baseball, it's always been that way, though. I think there's always been really good parity. You know, in baseball, I mean, when Coastal Carolina a couple years ago, well, it's getting to be more than a couple now, but when Coastal Carolina can go to Omaha and win, I think football is the only one, which is, unfortunately, that's the big money maker.
Nature of the sport, though.
Right.
Football will never quit. And I tell you what, on the women's side, I got to tell you, I've been watching a good bit of that. That's exciting basketball. And Iowa, how about those kids from Iowa, Kelly?
Yeah, they're okay.
No, they're in the Final Four, Kelly. They're doing really well.
I went to Iowa State,
yeah,
Bob, so
I'm
to bring
aware.
Up Iowa,
yeah.
You know.
So right now I think you have LSU and Iowa, and I think there are two more women's games today.
And on
South
the,
Carolina.
And on the men's side, you know, UConn is really the only blue blood. You know, they're the only team from the Northeast, you know, that's there. There's, you know, and there's no Dukes, there's no North Carolinas, no Kansases, no Kentuckys.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Hey, this is something for us to ask. Florida Atlantic is going to the Atlantic. I mean, to the American.
Right.
Right? So, where does all that money go?
That's already been addressed. It will stay in Conference USA.
Wow.
Yeah, they're going to get $13 to $15 million, Conference USA.
Because of Florida Atlantic.
They're leaving the league.
Right. Will the media day's conference room be improved, Kelly?
Maybe they'll be able to get a partition in the room this year compared to the phone booth they had it in last year.
All right, hey, as we go to break, I want to let everybody know that Cliff Russum, former baseball player for the Golden Eagles, pitcher, now the color analyst on the ESPN Plus TV broadcast of home games, he's going to be joining us every Thursday at 1:40 to preview the upcoming series and give us his analysis of the baseball games. And Kelly, be really nice to him. You know, he owns mugshots. It's a possibility. He could get a free burger out of
there. Actually, I know you're going to be shocked when I tell you this, Bob, but I coached Cliff Russum in baseball as well when he was younger.
Well, again, that just explains how old you really are, Kelly.
Well, and I'm going to hold him to it. I'm going to say, look, if you really value what I brought to the table, how about bringing me something to my table here at, at Mugshots?
He mentioned that you're coaching. He didn't seem to place a lot of value on it, but maybe I just misinterpreted.
Well, what if I say that Mugshots is usually voted the best hamburger in town?
That may help.
Yeah, okay.
That may help.
All right.
He's a great guy. We look forward to having Cliff Russum on the Eagle Hour every Thursday moving forward. Or when we get back, I'm sure Luke has every stat of every game.
And Juan Cardona, There's news about Juan Cardona, but we can tell you he's not. He is going
is
somewhere,
rumor?
But
it's
he's
a
not,
rumor.
Yeah, but he's not going anywhere. We'll be able to fill in those blanks as well.
It's a sweaty situation. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on this Monday brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laura will be at Southern Bancorp tomorrow, Midtown Hattiesburg, for a remote. Come see us. News and notes to close out this Monday. Beach Volleyball goes 2-3 over the weekend down in Baton Rouge. Defeated UNO and Spring Hill. And then dropped some contests to three top 15 teams. Florida State was number 4, Washington number 13, LSU number 5. So Lady Eagles go 2-3 on the weekend. We'll get ready to host the 2023 Beachburg Invitational this coming weekend. Softball loses 3 on the road at Marshall. 4-0, 17-9, and then 4-0. Lady Eagles 15-12 on the season, looking to rebound as they will host Troy this coming weekend in Hattiesburg. Ladies tennis over the weekend was up in the state of Virginia. Dropped 2 matches to James Madison and to Old Dominion. They will turn around and host Georgia Southern and Coastal Carolina this weekend in conference play. Lady Eagle tennis 1-4 right now. And then the men lost to South Alabama on Saturday, had yesterday's match postponed against Troy. No makeup date set yet. They will host Old Dominion and James Madison this weekend. Across the Sun Belt in conference play, Coastal Carolina takes 2 of 3 from Texas State at home. Appalachian State takes 2 of 3 from Georgia State up in Boone. Old Dominion hosting Marshall. They took 2 out of 3 from the herd. Troy sweeps ULM in Troy, Alabama. Louisiana on the road down in Mobile takes 2 of 3 from South Alabama. And then James Madison and Arkansas State, they had a Friday game, got canceled, pushed to Saturday. I should say got pushed to Saturday. That doubleheader got postponed, and they only got 1 game in. James Madison won that. So both Arkansas State, James Madison, 2 games less than everybody else. Eagles right now 3-3, way down the pecking order. Part of that's because of who they started with. Old Dominion and Louisiana leading the conference right now at 5-1.
Last week you probably saw on different social media sites too that Southern Miss men's assistant basketball coach Juan Cardona has been named the head coach of the Chilean national team. And, of course, a lot of people think, oh, that means he's leaving Southern Miss. That is not the case, as has been the case with coaches like John Calipari, Mike Krzyzewski, and some of the great ones over the years, Rick Pitino, Denny Crum. A lot of these coaches will be hired to coach these national teams, but it's just a very brief assignment of about a month or so. So Coach Cardona is still very much on board at Southern Miss. He will be the Chilean head basketball coach, but that will not affect his position at Southern Miss. In fact, it'll probably help things, Bob, in the sense that there will be even more outreach now to international players, and the Eagles would have the Golden Eagles would have more access to more of those international players.
Well, we're glad he's not going anywhere. He's a great addition to the program. Speaking of great coaches, got one on the show tomorrow, Kelly.
Will Hall will be joining us, the head football coach at Southern Miss. The big scrimmage this past weekend, did one quarterback rise above the rest of the young men in the quarterback room? We'll be able to ask him about that as they put the finishing touches on spring practice and what the spring game officially this Saturday. Is that right? April 1st?
I believe you're right.
That's right.
That's this coming Saturday. So
got an email about it this morning. Anybody that's listening, M Club members, there's a pretty cool thing going on for M Club members. We'll be, and I'm sure we'll ask Coach Hall about this tomorrow and send our prayers out to everybody affected by the tornadoes Friday. And even there was some damage last night. But, man, Rolling Fork, Winona, Bob, I know you're familiar with that part of the country up there. And just be aware there's in South Mississippi, I know here in Laurel and other places, there are some relief efforts going on. There's some – check out social media, places where you can drop off supplies. But, yeah, Coach Hall's hometown of Amory was affected. So, yeah. Anyway, just be aware of that. Let's help people in North Mississippi out.
Well, there's no question, and let me reemphasize, please do that, because I can just tell you, being from the Delta, the people that lost everything up there didn't have much to begin with and have very, very limited ways of replacing what they've lost. So they really, really do need your help. And also, a quick reminder, we are raising food again for Homes of Hope for Easter. Every corner market here in the Pine Belt has a donation barrel as you exit the store with the Homes of Hope logos on it. Please, between now and Good Friday, pick up a couple of extra canned food items when you're in a corner market and drop them off. We're going to be the Thursday before Good Friday. We'll be at Midtown Corner Market to kind of kick, you know, wind up the Easter drive. But there is a food drive underway, Easter baskets or canned food. Easter baskets for the kids out there or canned food. We're asking that you drop that off, and then we'll look forward to seeing how much we got, how much we gathered.
And to let you know, Bob, that our government is protecting us. The Defense Department has just released information that Uncle Joe, staying on top of all these things out of China, they have just shot down another object that they thought was another balloon. Turns out it was Slade Wilkes' home run.
It's still in the air. They missed it.
Not anymore.
They missed it, obviously.
The first
and
time.
It's still flying.
Yeah.
All right, Will Hall tomorrow. Phil Hall, his long-lost brother, coming back to the Eagle Hour, we hear very soon.
That's what I hear, too.
That's going to be good. Will Hall tomorrow on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. For Luke and Kelly, this is Bob Getty. Thanks for listening, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.